Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Fashion Lab and thank you for tuning in. We are holding it down right here in New York City because Fashion Week is on. My name is Liz Ogunbowale-Regisford. I am your host. And on today's show, we're going to be talking again just around the highlights of what's really going down at New York Fashion Week 2016 this year. Now, obviously, I'm also joined here. I'm sitting with Edgy. Normally, I sit with Morag on the other side, but yes, but I'm sitting with Edgy on this side, and I don't really want to answer the question of what are we wearing, but I'm joined by Edgy Benson, who is also a contributor on the show with Echoes from New York. And then on the other side, Morag Stein is holding it down. She's our glam up queen. Morag, welcome to the show as well.
Thank you so much, and welcome all the way from New York.
I know, but I was going to say, you're the one who's going to be welcoming us on that side, and we're just going to vibe, because what I want us to do is focus on some of the ways that, you know, New York Fashion Week has gone down this year, some of the trends that are affecting designers, some of the ways that designers have shifted when it comes to the showing sort of curation space and how they've decided to showcase their stories this year. You know, some of the highlights and everything, you know?
Yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah, so welcome to the show. What are you wearing, Morag? Let's start with you.
Well, I'm wearing clothes. I'm not in my pajamas, like I'm sure you and Edgy are. I'm wearing just a really nice high waist Topshop skinny black jean with some nice nude heels and a nice little sort of boho crop top from H&M today. So I'm feeling very summery. It's very hot here today. And, yeah, just a beautiful bright look.
Nice. And, Edgy, do you want to share what you're wearing? Look at me because I can see you.
Okay, I'm going to be creative and I'm going to share what Liz is wearing. She's wearing a bare shoulder t-shirt or camisole that is really, really beautiful green.
I think, let me be creative and say what I'm wearing. I'm wearing a beautiful maxi, bell sleep maxi, and it's just beautiful.
Stunning.
Yeah.
You have to send us a picture.
Yeah, we'll try.
Edgy,
what are you wearing?
Well, send these skinnies and a t-shirt. Remember, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And anyway, it's great to hear that we're all here, and it's great to hear Morag is also holding it down on the other side. I want to just go straight into some of the things and some of the trends and some of the brands we've been talking to. We're obviously going to be also touching on some models, including the Reshma Qureshi model, who, you know, got held down and damped. You know, how did someone hold you down? Not someone. Three men who held her down, damped
her. So crazy.
And she still made it to the runway. I think that's brave. That's very brave.
That is a hustler right there.
Yes, and we also got to caught up on this trip. So far, we've also been able to catch up with, you know, we've taken fashion to a whole new level. But at the end of the day, I think the best or the most refreshing way of how we've captured this Fashion Week was not just on the runways. We also got to sit at the WNBA, and me who does not watch WNBA.
Did you enjoy it?
Well, I'm not really like a sports person. Really, like, I don't, and I'm not going to pretend, I don't sit down to watch sports. So it's interesting that because of the fact that Teresa Weatherspoon, who's an ex-WNBA player, was launching her collection, which Edgy has been conceptualizing and developing for her, and is now stocking at the Madison Square Garden, is amazing because we went there, watched the game, finished the game, hang out with her, and I thought that was so refreshing. So that was a kind of sports meets fashion sort of evening. And we got to talk to her, and we're going to be sharing some of the conversations and the footage on YouTube and also on other platforms. So that was refreshing. And then we obviously also got a chance to catch up with Farai, who we've had on the show previously.
Yes. If you remember.
Yes. So Farai Simoe, who's based here, we went to the fabric shop and literally sat down with her. when it came to how she sources fabric and how she reinvents fabric that looks like nothing, and then suddenly you have a small little collection. And I think that's the way to go.
Amazing.
You don't have to sit down and have like so many, you know, you don't have to sit down and invest as much as I say it's power to invest in your own fabric, and print, because it is, there's other innovative ways and, just ways to be able to reinvent things and keep moving, because you can't just sit and say, I don't have money to print. There's got to be another way.
There's a way. There's always a way.
Yes, exactly.
Talking about collaborations, can we please just highlight Gigi Hadid and Tommy Hilfiger? Like, what is going on there? You know, we all thought, like, you know, model turned designer all of a sudden. But I'm, you know, I've actually just been following some of the looks. How amazing is this collaboration?
But listen, you know, Maura, when you say model turned designer, you know, I'm one of
them. Yes, yes.
I'm one of them. So we have to give credit where it's due. And then what's refreshing is great. And then for the models who need to go back to the runway, we just need to send them back, you know?
Yes, yes.
So that is also very refreshing. And then obviously our other highlights are some of the designers that we intentionally came out here to capture and to really follow, like your Bibu Mohapatra. Bibu just shut the place down yesterday with his show. I mean, like, shut it down. Like, we could all go home and just say, okay, Fashion Week's over.
We're done, yes, yes.
Yeah. 3S4, that was the day before yesterday, was also refreshing and very different. Like I said, one of the things that I think I'm really enjoying is just to see how the designers decided to showcase this year, based on the fact that, you know, it was that whole different venues, different ideas, different concepts, and still bring their stories to life, because at the end of the day, we want the soul. We want to really get to the soul of what they're actually talking about, what they're showing, and why.
Yes.
Yeah, so I could go on and on, but I just want to throw this back to Edgy and just kind of get Edgy's... by the way, that another very interesting show, like I said, it was interesting, is Lakwan Smith.
Yes.
So we also... I said it was interesting, because if it's interesting, it is. I don't want to kiss and tell. I mean, well, I'm not kissing and telling. It's out already. But very different again. And like I said, when we were talking about the shows, and you know how people say, oh, I didn't like that. And I'm like, it's fine if you don't, because it's great that we all have opinions. But at the end of the day, what I think is key is that let every creative say it the way they want to say it. I mean, I can't. So we can all like. Maura, you might like a collection you spoke about. Edgy might like something else. I may just run away from something else. But that is the expression of this creative or the designer, and that's what. So we gotta deal with it or go home, because that's what they're saying. That's all, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I think sometimes the beauty of a collection is in the look of the model, the way the model,
like, carries it.
No, just not the way the model carries it, but how she feels in it, how she comes across in it. Because models are really, remember, clothes are for people. And when a model puts on something that she loves and feels so amazing, you can see her. You can see how the aura of it. You know, so sitting back, you can actually tell the perception of a collection by just how the models are carrying it, how they're feeling it, you know? So we're able to see all of that, like, just from a show where the models are feeling so happy and hip and just part of it, to a show where models are feeling, oh my God, why am I in this dress? You know? Those kinds of things, you know? But it was so cool to be able to see that up close and to share that. And you know, one of the most surprising things about this us being here in New York was that Fashion Lab already had a reputation of some sort by the time we got to the shows. You know, there were just express arrangements for Fashion Lab to interview the designers. We had backstage access. It was so beautiful. I know we're young and you know, but it was so cool to see that Fashion Lab had that kind of reception.
You know what, and just talking about that, I mean, Fashion Lab is a worldwide, on a worldwide platform, but we're also the only media media platform covering New York Fashion Week from Africa.
Yes. So what was funny, and what was funny is when we went in, some people who were like, if say we show up at a venue for a quick show, some people would just be like, Fashion Lab Africa. The minute I say Africa, they're like, okay, come this way. Because it doesn't seem like there was anyone else from the continent.
No.
But part of that was also Liz, though. She just exuded so much aura. Like, you know, there was just no way you could keep it.
The queen has arrived.
For me, I just pointed the way, and Liz just opened the door. I'm like,
I can imagine that she was wearing those 9-inch heels as well.
Oh yeah, and you know, all I had to do was, these are our names that have to be on the list, and once Liz showed up, they just brought out the list.
Wonderful.
I was like, that is what I want.
But that's how life should be. Why is life so complicated?
That's true. And you know what's funny is, yesterday we went to Bibu's show.
Yes.
Literally, I mean, like I even said to Edgy, I had to say no, because it's like, we're busy running to try to get our interview. But then they're all running to me to come to get their, and we're like, no, we're here as press. But it was so confusing.
I became a timekeeper. I was like, Liz, we got 2 minutes.
It was refreshing. You know what's refreshing, and something else I also miss that I don't really feel much of in the continent is, I feel like we just don't, like, the fashion week right now is fashion week in every sense. The cabs know, when they sit in a yellow cab or you sit in an Uber, they know when you're like, oh yeah, you're going to fashion week.
Yeah.
The people, even the beggars on the street know it's fashion week.
It's such a feel about it. You
even
know?
The shop the owners, street. Yeah, when we went to do the interview it's with... Right, yes. The shop owners are selling fabric, but they know it's, everyone knows what time it is. And the street is full of paparazzi because everybody is trying to get you to put you on their blog or their magazine so they can say, I was there, we were there too, and look, some of the things we captured. So you walk in and there's like literally 100 cameras flashing just because it's fashion.
Because it's fashion week. Amazing. So you've been in the hustle and bustle for a week.
Honey, we've been hustling. Now, I want to just say as well to I just want to say to our listeners who are tuned in for the first time, we definitely try to focus on dissecting the business behind fashion because that's what we care about. We care about moving ahead. We care about developing the African fashion industry. And one of the key things some people may ask is, why New York Fashion Week? It's not just why New York Fashion Week. If we could be able to cover major fashion events across the world, it would actually be even more, it would play an imperative role when it comes to talking and dissecting the business behind fashion in the continent. Because at the end of the day, you cannot be able to trade and play in a global marketplace without understanding what's going on in that global marketplace. So for those who are tuned in, if you have you want to join us on the show, or if you have any comments or whatever it is, you can definitely send your tweets. You can email us at info@fashionlabafrica.com. You can keep your tweets coming at @fashionlabaf and just share with us some of your thoughts around the New York Fashion Week 2016. Also, my quick reminder before we continue with New York Fashion Week talk is, my favorite segment at the end of the show is called
Glass of Wine.
Would you want to dress and why? So, feel free to share with us your who's and your why's. When it also gives me time to put on something else so that I can kind of have something fresh to talk about at the end of the show. It's truly our glass of wine. Yeah, so I think moving on, some of the models, one of the things I realized, and Edgy just touched on, is the models are a very major element of showing. And I have had that experience. I've had bad models, like the ones, remember the ones I talked about? I wouldn't talk about
so
what
platform. So bad.
They were so bad that I had to just, I want to just scream. And every time I watch that video, I want to fall over. But the truth is that they can mess up the vibe, truly. So even if you have a beautiful collection, you have a, I don't care how good the collection is. If you have bad models, it's just, in Nigeria, they say nawa for you. It's finished. It's over.
A bad model can ruin everything. Everything. Kill your vibe.
And one of the shows, I will not mention which one we went to again yesterday, we had models fainting. The models, you know, when Eddie said that, you know, when you wear something that's actually beautiful and makes you shine, you will shine, you know,
yes.
Like, and we all know, I mean, and every woman who's listening knows what I mean right now, is you, when you wear a dress, that's why you go into a place when you say, I have to have that dress. There's a reason that you have to have that dress. And that means you got to just drop the ching ching and go with the dress because of the way that it makes you feel. The worst thing is to look around and see models looking sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sad. More like, it wasn't even sad to cry. It was like sad, like, get me out of this.
Yes, why is the world seeing me in this? I think one thing that is, one really good observation that I feel is so strong to point out is, fashion is this ecosystem, you know? It's an entire universe of things. And Fashion Week always elaborates that in New York, especially. There's the designer and then his designs, I mean, his whole concept, and then there are the models that carry this concept, and then there's all these other things, like the showcase part of it, which is like the venues, the way the runways are structured, and then the photographers, all of that, just the atmosphere, everything is created.
Yes.
So you get this fashion feel. Like, it's not just the clothes, it's way, way, way beyond the clothes. It's just this ecosystem that everything
feeds off one another.
Exactly, and you have this effervescent boil, you know? You know, from this mixture of elements.
And once again, back to my favorite thing, collaboration.
Yes.
And if there's one person that is not committed, whether it be makeup, hair, venue, music, whatever, it just ruins everything. It really does.
Absolutely.
So, Morag, on the flip side, I'm sure you've watched some of the shows, the world's online. What are some of your highs when it comes to maybe some of the makeup sort of looks? Did you see what you were expecting to see? Because we spoke about it prior, just saying, you know, this is what we kind of see coming.
So let me just tell you that you and Edgy owe me a high five, because as I predicted, I'm seeing it on the runway. And I'm very proud of my sort of estimation of what it would be, because it's there.
High five.
Thank you. Okay, so just there's actually one designer that I just quickly want to touch on before I go into makeup and into my glam up segment. And you know what, it's trending hugely on social media, is Anisa Hasuban, which is an Indonesian designer. Who, it's obviously the first Indonesian designer that showcased at New York Fashion Week, and her whole collection was women dressed fully in hijabs. I mean, have you ever? Her designs are magnificent. The only thing that we're showing on these models are their faces and their hands, literally. And looking at her collections, it is just magnificent. And once again, collaboration, everything. I actually watched the show online. The dewy skins of the models, the beautiful natural makeup. And, you know, from the accessories to the shoes to the colors, it's just beautiful. So far, that is one of my favorite shows that I've seen. It's absolutely incredible. Has it been trending there as well?
Well, you know, like, I think because of the fact that obviously there's a lot of different ways, different expressions from different designers.
Yes.
And I haven't seen, for me personally, I haven't seen, out of all the shows we've seen, I think everything I've seen is, for each designer, I've just seen everything is really different. But actually, I want to throw this back to you because we spoke about it briefly, and you said something about, so we were talking about 3S4 show, and I said it was definitely very different. And then Bibu's show, which was proper elegance, but then again, not as hard as he always comes. It was a bit softer this time. Actually, I'm throwing that to you. How would you explain? Because you explained it really well.
No, because I think because the designers are always a gamut of emotions. You know, the different focuses. You know, like for 3S4, and you see it in the crowds that attend the shows, and it goes even all the way to the makeup. 3S4 was very artisan. The crowd is very artisan, more artistic, and then they don't give a lot of credence to makeup. And some of the models wore no makeup. This is a crowd that doesn't really necessarily believe in elegance, but they believe in statement fashion, you know?
Yeah.
They just want to be, they want to stand out, but they want to say something, whether you like it or not, you know? They're almost naturalist in their approach to fashion, while Bibu is pure elegance, you know? It's either hardcore or soft. Today, this time it was soft for summer, but you still had those gowns, those flowy gowns, those just amazing night silhouettes, you know, cocktail silhouettes, you know.
And also what Edge said is that there was something where even though the designers, everyone obviously has a different expression, but there was some things or some sort of hues that you felt tied into it too.
Yes.
Tied through, even though they're not.
Yes.
What was that?
I think most this time, there are a few elements that kind of sit through the whole collections that you would see. Some collections where they eschew colors and they want to stay straight, like they want to stay monochrome. You see a lot of the white pants. The white pants were a big part of, they've been in play for a while, and they still show through a lot of collections.
Yeah, last sort of the 70s.
Yeah, flowy, androgynous looks. Mm-hmm. And then there were also prints that were very, very, very strong. More like techno prints, you know?
Yeah.
They're not very organic, more techno. And of course, there's so much technology in the collections now. They're like 3D printed dresses and everything, and that showed through the collection. So there is the print side of it that showed through, and then for where you don't see prints, you see it's monochrome, but they still kept this androgyny, a little bit of androgyny, a little bit of wide flowiness. That seeped through the collections.
Can I also add on to something? Again, back to, as we're talking about the different, you know, what's really different about 2016 New York Fashion Week, 2017, is that if you people noticed, I don't know if you did, but the models are very different this season. And what we've realized is instead of using the Kendalls and whoever they normally use, they've really flipped it up. So when I looked at Bibu's show, and we had this conversation with Edgy before we started going to the shows, is the models are, Edgy said to me, they're no longer anything, and I almost put him in a box and threw him in the river because I was like, what are you talking about? Like, he's like, Liz, this all little skinny model, because I was like, talk about models and proper models, and he's like, Liz, you know what? That is also fading away, unfortunately, with the trends and the things are changing, and unfortunately, that's one of the things that's changing. So now, designers say that a lot of designers are choosing to use what they call real people. And when I looked at, especially 3S4's show, I didn't see any model.
Yes.
Well, I just saw Rosie and Annie and Jane, and I was like, where are the models? But you know, the clothes were beautiful, but yeah, I don't know what's going on with that.
Because like I said, 3S4 is very, very naturalist in a sense. It's like it's a fashion. It's almost like going to a nude beach for fashion, because they just give you, really, they give you this kind of unclothed fashion. They take it, they make it naked for you to see. So it means the models may not have makeup at all. They may not be your quintessential model. They fit the profile of that collection, you know. the just is a very body conscious collection. It's you unwrapped, you know. That's the way they look at fashion.
And then on the flip side, Bibu
is elegant.
Bibu, yeah, but he's still I'm talking about the models. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know why, like, everyone now have to become models. Like, can they just leave this thing for models, like the real models, Morag? What
yes,
do you think?
I agree with you 100%, because both you and I will be slightly out of business if there were no models around, number one. Number two, what I noticed and I'm talking about, you know, the bigger shows, sort of the DKNYs, the Anna Sues, Oscar De La Renta's, is the models are beautiful this season. You know, sometimes for me, you know, yes, you are just the model, but at the end of the day, you know, I find that in the previous seasons, the models were really just models, whereas this season, because the makeup has been such a huge feature, the models are, for me, they are just beautiful this season, and that's something that I've really picked up. You know, they're striking, they're strong. You know, and once again, a model can, you know, if you don't have a strong model, it can ruin your collection. But I must say, the ones that I've seen so far on the runway are just beautiful compared to the other seasons. So, yes, Liz, I agree with you 100% on that. Let's just stick to models.
I just don't know if I find that the models, like, for example, like Bibu's show, the yes. models were very strong. They're not beautiful, but they are.
I think that's what I was trying to.
Okay, they're not pretty. They're just not pretty. That's not the word. But they are hard.
They're unique looking.
They're just
a gamut of emotions, fear, elegant.
They're very strong, but they're not. Yeah, they're not. Pretty. So obviously, again, that strength obviously resonates with something that the designer is trying
looking for.
I think what's going on is, like I was saying, like, I think fashion is really, like, evolving in such a way that it's such a personal experience. It's very curated experiences right now. So even the models have to reflect. Let's say a dress is for when you feel really fierce, you know, they've got to find a model who carries that dress very fiercely. It's like that personalizing the idea, you know?
Yes.
I think that's what's going through. It's not just putting it on someone to walk it beautifully anymore.
Yes, and I was going to say that the pretty models are never really strong.
No.
Like, the pretty models are pretty. They should just go in for a photo shoot for a pretty shoot. And the spring garden while the flowers spring. And then, like, the real models, like, the proper, strong, fierce gazelles should be on the runway speaking on their walk, on their stride. But, yeah, that was very refreshing. Another really cool thing, or one of our other highlights was, and we're going there tonight. That's the last, I think, for me, that's my last show. I am tired, and I need a foot massage, honestly, because I tell you, Morag, my mom taught me that, you know, when you wear heels, honey, you better keep those things on.
You keep them on, and you take, if you need to take a pain pill, you take a pain pill, and you walk.
Them babies on. So yes. I have, like, literally every morning I wake up, I say to Edgy, I need a foot massage, because before we go back to the shows, between that little time, my feet are like burning on fire. My God. And me, I'm the heel queen. I can run up the mountain in heels, but the streets are hard, man.
Well, I'll tell you what you can do while you're there. So just a little quick home DIY. You can soak your feet in Epsom salts, as I've mentioned before. And rub some, like an aspirin or something, drop some aspirin in the water, some aspirin powder, and that will also be sort of like an anti-inflammatory for your feet. So you can try that. And it's literally a 5-minute thing, so it's not a long session, but just to get you through the next 2 days.
thank you, Maura, to take that. Now I want to go back to what I was saying. We bump into, so there I am at the airport waiting on the queue, on the yellow cab queue, and guess who bumps into me? Yann Malan again.
No! Amazing.
Yes. And I just say, you know, this world is so small, but the thing is, he's here to capture, he's here to produce Mac Bauer's show, which is going down today, and the, you know, we got to capture some of the whole casting and some of the way he actually just runs this process. But one of the things I have to say is, first of all, I am proud of what he's doing because he's just moving beyond borders. Gosh, do I have a new word besides, I've been using this word so much.
Beyond borders.
Beyond borders. I mean, like, okay, let's keep using it until we have,
he's jet-setting.
And what I admire about him is for him to be flying around the world, not just necessarily stuck, not stuck, but he has gone beyond his space because he's now getting work, production work, specifically across. I know he's also got something coming up in Tokyo, but anyway, tonight's show, we're going to definitely send out some tweets and just kind of share with people what's happening. But the Mac Power show is going to be, I think, very refreshing. It's going to be, I'm sure, a talk for a while. But that's, like I said, is the last show I'll be going into because that's how we're ending it. So I'm just proud of Jan for being able to also play in the game. And I think for me, what we've also been able to capture on this trip is the value chain other than just designers. Because like Edgy always says, a puzzle is not complete until all, you know, you've got to fill up all of your...
Until all the pieces are in.
Yeah, so the truth is the pieces are not just designers. The pieces are so many other things. We also got to speak to Edgy here, followed him around and kind of captured what he does because he plays a very imperative role when it comes to just the fashion, when it comes to from your concept to your development. But it's interesting to actually watch him do this in different bits and pieces and ways, which is also very refreshing, but also very good, very informative, nice for brands to be able to tune in. When we share the vignettes, you know, obviously people will be able to tune in and see why I'm going to emphasize, you know, why I'm emphasizing so much on paying attention to some of the things that we don't really think about too much or the shortcuts that we take. And these shortcuts that we take sometimes can cost us just too much. Sometimes it's better.
They can be detrimental.
Yes. The truth is sometimes it's just nice to, especially for fashion when it comes to production, the development stages, there's certain things that Edgy literally was like, you cannot take a shortcut of that because you might as well go to the Hudson River and be eaten by the things that eat people in there, whatever. Yeah. But that's what's really, that's what's refreshing. So we having, being able to capture not just the runway and not just the designer, but so many other elements of what makes this fashion industry what we call it was crucial and was refreshing and was also informative, and I'm really looking forward to sharing the rest of the details and sharing it more you know with Africa when we get back home. Yes, I think it's time to take a break. Our lines are open. You know, for those who are tuned in, you're welcome to share with us some of your tweets, share with us some of your thoughts around some of your highlights this season at New York Fashion Week. And we'll be right back after the break.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Hi, and we're back with Fashion Lab.
Back with Fashion Lab.
Yes, we
and
are back.
Talking about moving lips. There's a huge, huge, huge trend on the runway. As I predicted, the dark lip is back. Thank God, because it's my favorite. And one that was really trending is Redare, and it was the NARS Velvet Matte Lip in Train Bleu. So it was actually a lip pencil that they colored the whole lip in. So that's the lipstick color of the day.
Yes, Maura, can I just go ahead and say we just would love to welcome you, Glamour.
Thank you.
So that you can just take us through. We'd also love to listen to you because we've already told you a lot from our side. So welcome, Maura Stein with the Glamour. And glamour's up, girl.
Thank you. So just as I was saying, the lipstick color of the day is obviously from the Redare collection or runway look, and it's a NARS Velvet Matte Lip Pencil in Train Bleu. So what they did is they actually took the lip pencil and really perfected this beautiful dark lip. And the look was called Dark Fairy. And I'll actually tweet some pictures. The whole look is very beautiful. There's orchids around the neckline of the model. There's some flowers in her hair. But once again, very strong brow, dark structured lip. Very fierce and dark, but then kind of very fairy tale vibe with, you know, all the flowers around her head, etc. Other looks that were trending hugely with dark lips specifically is Zac Posen. He also had a dark lip, and it's a new lip collection that MAC has actually launched. It's a matte retro liquid lipstick, so it's like a lip gloss, but it's a retro matte texture, so super matte, super dark, very easy to apply. And, you know, looking at all the, you know, obviously I've been following what's been happening backstage and what sort of makeup they're using, what brands they're using. This specific liquid matte lipstick from MAC has been used, if I tell you, about 80% of the shows have been using this new texture because it's just so beautiful, so easy to apply. And then another look with the braid, so also hugely trending. And as I said, you know, when I, for the looks that I predicted for, you know, Summer Spring 2017 in New York is the braids. And Rachel Zoe also did beautiful halo braids. Very free, soft hair, once again with a really, really dark lip. And also, just a sort of a tip how to get your hair wavy is you can use a sea salt spray. Literally, even just with water with salt in it, really gives you that beautiful, natural, wavy, messy sort of look, you know, that you've just come out of the ocean. If only we could just walk out of the ocean and look amazing, as the models did. And then another look from Nicole Miller. The look was inspired by a snow bunny. So just really beautiful, soft, sort of sunburnt cheeks. Really beautiful. Liz, your favorite. No makeup, makeup look. And just really with a beautiful tinted lip. One that I also really, really liked was the hair from the Kate Spade show, which was quite nice. Just sort of middle part, sleeked back, just with sort of, it looks like a shoelace or like a velvet ribbon that the hair's just been tied with instead of an elastic band, which will also be trending, I think, hugely in Africa, in our spring season that's coming up at the moment, you know. With the season coming up, I think it's just an easy hairstyle to do, easy to get away with. And then another one that I really liked was DVF, of course, the wonderful Diane. And she just did a really simple low bun. So, you know, instead of a pony, just sort of flicking it back into a bun. And then also, once again, very strong brow and almost with a very nude pink, beautiful lip, also matte. So, and then also, obviously, Oscar De La Renta does his favorite dark eyes, very natural lip, and also predicted by me was the strong cat eye, which I've seen coming through quite a lot. As far as nails go, I mean, you must just see the nail art on the runways. It is ridiculous. I'm looking at these images thinking, oh my god, my nail technician is going to hate me because I'm going to want to try every single one on every single finger. You know, I feel like I'm not being a part of it. So trending at the moment, which I'll post a picture of my nails, is dark nails, dark short nails, and I've got this beautiful navy, it's sort of like a navy teal blue, but in matte, which is really, I find quite refreshing. So trends with nails on the runway is very matte, dark colors. So when we say dark, we don't necessarily mean black or maroon or navy like I have, but dark browns, dark grays, and then with metallic art over the nails. So to think that they're preparing nails almost 24 hours before a show for literally a 10, 20 minute walk down the runway, they've put a lot of effort in. So nail trending, huge, huge, huge at the moment. And yeah, that's pretty much a wrap up of, you know, what's been happening on the runways. Are there any specific makeup looks that you, Liz and Edgy, that you've seen that you loved?
I think just the nude, but if it wasn't just called the nude, what do you call it?
The makeup, no makeup look. Listen, the models, you know, you and I both know, you know, with shows, you know, that I have worked backstage, the models do actually have a lot of makeup on their faces, but it just looks so beautiful and dewy that it looks so natural that they're not actually, you know, the look is sort of to inspire no makeup look, but let me tell you, there is a lot of makeup on. So it's just really, it's a refreshing, dewy sort of finish on the face.
Yeah. I think I like, and I also like the braids, definitely, but it's funny that you really predicted this. So you really got it. Yeah, the cat
eye. The dark lips were big.
I don't like the cat eye, but I like the, I liked the nude, I like the, braids, that braided look is so refreshing.
It's
and
so
I,
beautiful.
And it really, to me, reminds me of summer because it's,
yes.
It's the easier ways to get more hair off of your face and you, and keep it up.
And I think it also reflects this naturist.
Yes, the naturist. Yes.
And then, just quickly, how do you feel about the Desigual show, the Spanish designer who literally put models in your favorite Snapchat filters down the runway? So basically, this designer got, so like your Snapchat filters, which are obviously made popular by, you know, 70s looks, etc. And then Snapchat obviously hugely trending in the social media platforms. He literally created each and every model to walk down the runway in a different Snapchat filter. I mean, I'm finished. I can't even deal. So it was things like the spotted deer lens look, a crown of yellow butterflies look, and of course the dog nose look. Have you seen any of that?
Very
yeah, we had a model in there.
Yes.
We had one of those African models in there.
Yes.
I
was
very,
sure. But that's
so
clever.
Yeah, it's so clever.
So,
it's
so,
so, cool.
So clever. It was so cool. Like, I don't think obviously in the history of fashion, we've never seen anything like this. Obviously, because Snapchat, you know, is obviously quite, you know, new in the social media platforms. But I just thought he hit the nail on the head. Like, what a fantastic concept.
I think it's all the personalization of fashion, you know, this
yes.
curated approach to fashion. Desigual is principally a very young brand because of their embrace of color and strong imagery, you know?
Yes.
And so Snapchat would be fantastic for them. It's just...
Yes, but I think for me, what I also have to say is they are definitely pushing... they've really accepted where we are when it comes to the trends of the world, and they have just decided to adapt and to apply in every way possible.
And
I have never
use it to their advantage.
Yes, because this is just like unbelievable, but it's refreshing. But it's back to saying, you know what, they've adapted to trends and taken and run with it, and that's where the world should be.
That's how. So at the end of the day, fashion is the way we live, and the way we live is continually having to evolve. Right now, social media is how it's like our ecosystem,
yes.
you know. So
yes, yes.
Fashion has to be that ecosystem.
Yes,
and that's and design. Yeah.
Just another thing, from, you know, obviously, Victoria Beckham's collection was very different, on the runway to what she normally does. And just an interesting point, going back to the social media, her son Brooklyn actually posted an Instagram video, of a certain mint green dress that came down the runway from her collection. And it's been watched over 350,000 times already.
Gosh, can I be her?
Like, can we actually, I mean, that is, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So just once again, coming back to how social media is so, so influential in our industry.
Yes. And that's why I agree when Edgy says it's a part of our ecosystem. We just need to adapt.
Yes.
There's no, it doesn't matter if you're a young designer or an old designer. When Nicola says, if you're not on Instagram, then I don't know where we should go now. It's just like...
I think also designers in Africa, what designers are doing here is the same thing designers are doing everywhere, finding a way to reach the customer.
Mm.
I think African designers have to always find a way to reach the customer. Once you have that as a goal, then you're going to innovate how you reach the customer, you know?
Yes.
You're going to follow the, you know your customer, you know what they're like, whether they're Snapchat people or YouTubers or, I mean, that's you understanding your customer and tailoring your approach to them accordingly.
Yes. I think to also, before we go to our who would you want to address segment in a timely manner, I think that one of the things I would definitely encourage, for me, my experience being here and just seeing what's going on has also really inspired a lot in me when it comes to how I would want to continue to showcase and continue to reach out. Because at the end of the day, the bottom line is the bottom line. We're in a business. You have to be able to make money. And at the end of the day, if you can't make money, then you should go home or go to the Viva again. So I think one of the things I would encourage African brands to do is to also think about other ways of showcasing. Fashion Week's great, but there's so many other ways. I've realized also a bit more as I introspect is, Fashion Week is great, but they, like as you said, if you know your target, if you know who you're, if you know who's buying from you, if you know your customer, your clients, why are you confining yourself to like doing things that the mainstream says you should do? Why can't you just take them to the park and go swimming and do everything underwater because your clientele lives under the water? Like why? So I feel like all I'm saying is I'm encouraging African brands, African fashion designers to open up their minds and to refuse to be confined in a box. Yeah. You can still do fashion if you want to, but at the same time, if you want to not do it, but to find innovative and refreshing ways to reach out to your target market or to your client base, that's what you do. That's because at the end of the day, that's the bottom line.
Also be exclusive to your uniqueness. And target that market, you know?
Yeah. And I think I think also this is something that we as Fashion Lab must also endeavor to do, to kind of spread the word. But the designers on their own are not going to shape fashion in Africa. They can't because it just doesn't work that way. We have to be able to kind of emphasize the importance of all those other side things that make Fashion Week, fashion work. And as media, we have to try to do that to help the designers, meaning we have to emphasize the importance of good photography, good imagery in Africa, the importance of good, of just location is important for a shoot, for a catalog shoot, for a runway, and just photography is so such a big deal, and just celebrating fashion and individuality has to be celebrated, and it means African designers also have to take on the challenge to discover who their clients are, who their customers are, so that they can individualize their approach to the customer and make the customer feel special when they come to their show, you know.
Wow, guys, 100%. Boom, it's time for who you want to dress, because we want to dress someone today, and Maura, we're going to start with you. Who would you want to dress and why?
Sure, I want to dress a model friend of mine, actually. It's very exciting. Her name is Michaela Wright, and she's literally just turned 17, and she has actually been, she's just come back from New York, and she's been casted, and she, I'm sure she's going to be the next Victoria's Secret school face, everything. She's going places, she's going big. So before she gets there, I would love to dress her and make her more beautiful than what she is.
Fantastic. Edgy, who would you want to dress and why, besides me, Morag, or you?
Trust me. This is so personal because this is the first time I got to see Liz's work close and personal. So what I would like to do is dress every woman in the world in one of Liz's pleated short skirts.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, that one we can make an exception then. It sounds good to me. Fine.
No, that's good. It was so mind-blowing. Like when we went out there, everybody just like, they couldn't ignore that skirt.
No. Maura deals.
I know exactly which one it is. No, I know. It's ridiculous.
We picked it in community because we're like, this is it. I was like, this is it.
I wanted to wear a gown, and he's like, Liz, please, it's 1 o'clock show. Come now, please. Like,
I knew the paparazzi would be out there, you know.
Thank you. Now, I want today to dress Reshma Qureshi because when I saw her, I think my tears fell. And then I looked at her because I was watching the, you know, the whole thing, the backstage, the makeup. She sat there so quietly, but I felt her pain, but I was like, I can't even feel it because I don't even know how bad this went down. But the bravery of coming to actually be in Fashion Week and showcase, I think is, I would never know how it feels to be in her shoes, but I just, it touched my heart and I would want to dress her to make her feel even more beautiful and more appreciated and more just kind of give her hope and make her feel like it's okay. I mean, what happened happened, but there's still hope. I just literally just cried like a child anyway. It wasn't even 1 year. I think it was 8 years. But anyway, that's who I want to dress because I think our role, our responsibility as fashion people or fashion players is to also make people feel beautiful because clothing is just one element of helping someone be complete. And people don't realize it. People laugh about it and say, and they say, I don't care about fashion. I'm like, you come out of there with that, you know, come up with the wrong clothes. You won't come out. I think it's very good for us to encourage the people around us using what we know and what we have. Like you, Morag, you obviously, you know, you don't realize the power that you have, but you have so much power because you transform people just through your makeup. And I think that that's what we should do as well in the fashion space. Anyway, guys, it's been great having you. Thank you for contributing and thank you for your conversations. Today has been a freestyle Thursday. Okay. I thought I was going to kind of be one of those of, oh, I missed the badass. I overslept. But anyway, we made it. We're having a great time. And for those who are tuned in, we are on fashionlabafrica.com if you want to continue to connect. Otherwise, peace and love and all the best.
Thank you. See you guys soon.
All right. You're
followed up. Over and out. Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.